Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. We have a new world champion. Lando Norris has become the 35th Formula One world champion in history by 2 points over Max Verstappen in Abu Dhabi yesterday. Norris is only the 8th McLaren driver to secure a World Drivers' Championship. Their most recent was Lewis Hamilton back in 2008, and I think McLaren has had 13 overall, so he joins an incredible list of incredible drivers, and so well-deserved. Lando was my prediction from the beginning of the season, and I'm so happy for him, just so proud. I think regardless of who you root for, seeing the pure, unadulterated joy of a childhood dream coming true for someone and what that means to them, what that means to their family, I just find it impossible not to just feel so happy and so warm about that. Of course, it's bitter disappointment for Oscar and for Max, and of course, for all the team members who worked so hard to feel like this season maybe fell short of their goals. There's no diminishing that, but that's the beauty and the curse of sport. It's a double-edged sword, and we as fans, I think, are so lucky to have witnessed such an incredible season. It's the first full season I've watched where we have a champion other than Max Verstappen, so it feels exciting to see someone else take the crown. I watched some races in 2020, but my first full season watching every single race was 2021, and we all know how that ended. So anyway, a great day to be a McLaren fan, not a perfect season by any means, but it feels right for them to take both the Constructors and the Drivers' Championship crowns, just given the car they've built, the way they stuck together as a team through a lot of criticism, and just the loyalty that both Oscar and Lando showed that team throughout. So very proud, very happy. I hope that Lando can soak in this moment as he so well deserves with his family and with everyone around him who loves him. And hopefully he had fun celebrating. Let's dive into the racing. But before we do, just a quick note that I'm doing my usual end of year superlative survey where I ask your opinion on all the sort of fun things from the season. And I want your input because I will be chatting about it and putting some stuff together on it. So you can find the link to that in the episode description. It's just a simple Google form. And I look forward to seeing everybody's votes for everything. So for quali, Q1 out, we had Hamilton, Albon, Hulkenberg, Gasly, and Colapinto. People started on a mix of softs and mediums. A lot of people were struggling with track limits. Very, very sad to see Lewis knocked out again. He on the radio said something to the effect of, "Every time, man, I'm so sorry," which is just so depressing. And he was so sad. He ran wide. He also didn't have like the smoothest weekend because he missed FP1. He had the crash in FP3, which sort of rattles the confidence a bit. And yeah, he wasn't that far off from Charles, but it was because the margins were so tight, but it was enough, I think, to kind of make it look bad, especially given the race weekend Charles ended up having. It was really, really tight margins. I think from 11th to 16th, it was within a tenth of a second. So Lewis just barely missed out by that, but still, when you're out, you're out. Lando had a pretty conservative last lap in Q1, which was 0.5 seconds down from Oscar. So I couldn't tell if he was just being conservative or what was going on there. But yeah, made me a little nervous to see that. And then Q2, Yuki amazingly did enough to get to Q3. He squeezed by with like 7 or 8 thousandths of a margin. So just barely scraped through. Out we had Behrman, Sainz, Lawson, Antonelli, and Stroll. Isaac was also so happy on the radio to get into Q3, so it was good to see that. And then Q3, this was obviously, quali was very important. 12 of the last 12 races were won by the front row, and this race did not change that. It was an insane first lap in Q3 for Max Verstappen, which was good enough for pole. Like, he didn't even have to do another flying lap, and no one was able to best him in quali. So incredible pole from Max Verstappen, just continuing to deliver when he needs to deliver. Lando did manage to get P2 ahead of Oscar, who was 0.03 behind Lando, and then Russell was P4 and Charles P5. So it was kind of a funny starting grid, especially the top three being the top three contenders and then Russell right behind them. I think a lot of people were very wary about, myself included, about Russell in the race and what sort of challenge he would bring to them. It ended up not being much of a challenge, and we had a surprise challenger in Charles Leclerc, which I will talk more about. But yeah, crazy quali. I was just feeling very relieved after quali that like nothing crazy had happened. You know, Lando or Oscar didn't get knocked out in Q1. Like, there was a lot of nerves that I had heading into this quali and just this race weekend in general. I don't think I have ever felt as nervous for a race weekend as I did this weekend. And I'm feeling very relieved for a lot of reasons, but I'm just happy that no one had anything crazy go down or something outside of their control that just like absolutely screwed them over. I'm sure some fans of Max Verstappen or Oscar Piastri feel like they were slighted in some way this race, and we'll talk about maybe what some of those things are. But generally, I think I just feel relief is like my main emotion. So for the race, this was interesting strategy-wise. The McLaren split their strategy. So they had Piastri on hards. Yuki was also on hards starting P10, but the other top 10, including Lando, Max, and others, all started on mediums. It was a good start for Max. It wasn't his best start. He had to cover off and defend pretty much right away, but it was enough to sort of get the job done and stay out ahead. Lando also had a pretty good start as well and was able to cover off Oscar. The person who didn't have a great start was George Russell, who dropped two places behind Charles and Fernando Alonso. So Charles had an amazing start and was able to kind of surge ahead. And then there was this insane outside pass by Oscar Piastri over Norris to take P2. I was like, whoa, there were definitely no team orders given at the beginning of this race. They're just going to let them race. That's very daring. Like, go Oscar for pulling off that move. And he was doing what he needed to do to kind of keep the championship alive. And I think he knew off the start, if he wasn't able to get that position, it would have been even more of an uphill battle than it was. But I was like, whoa, they didn't give team orders. And if they did, like, Oscar clearly didn't listen to them. So that was kind of a crazy moment. But Lando managed to stay calm. It was a little bit of a stressful first several laps because Charles was in DRS range of Lando for so many laps, which just felt uncomfortable and obviously incredible for Charles and amazing that he was showing such great pace in the Ferrari. And the Ferrari generally this race was looking pretty good, but a little bit nerve-wracking because Lando had already been passed by his teammate, so he was in P3. And if he fell off the podium and Max won the race, like, that would be it. So yeah, I was pretty nervous about that. I kind of respect Charles for feeling like he has nothing to lose and he has no horse in the fight of the title championship, so was just kind of doing the best that he could regardless of who was in front of him. So props to him for that. He definitely gave it a fight and did not make it easy for Lando. Both McLaren engineers sort of got on the radio talking about Max's tire graining. I think there was a little bit of hope that maybe Max would slow down or wouldn't have the best tire management. I think the question for me going into this race was, how much was Max going to sort of do what he usually does and just charge ahead and not look back? Because for him, it wasn't enough to win the race. Like, he had to make sure that the people behind him, particularly Lando, finish off the podium. And the way to potentially do that is to back up the field to allow someone like a Charles or someone like a George or someone like Fernando Alonso or whoever else to potentially overtake. And so I was surprised that he didn't really do that. He seemed to kind of charge ahead. And I'll talk a little bit about that strategy later on and my thoughts on that, but kind of interesting. I think the first round of pit stops was around lap 17 and 18 for like the main players. So George Russell, Leclerc, and Norris all came in. Russell started, then Leclerc went, I think, to cover him off, and then Norris had to go to cover him off. Luckily, Norris had a very quick pit stop. The McLaren pit crew really delivered this weekend. 2.1 seconds for that first pit stop for Lando, which was good, but it was a little bit of a strange strategy or strange timing. Like, I get why they did it because they had to cover off Charles, but they pitted Lando out into this like massive DRS train of traffic. And that's when I started to get a little nervous because I was like, okay, Lando really has to get by these people quickly or he's going to fall back behind. Luckily, he was managing the people behind him, like Charles and Russell, and those were his real threats to a potential podium spot. But still, the longer you're like sitting behind this DRS train, the worse it is for your tires, the more dirty air you're in. Like, it's just kind of a disaster. So I was so proud and so happy to see Lando make some incredible passes through that DRS train. He had like one double overtake, which was crazy. I think he got by like three or four drivers in a matter of like a lap or two. So really well done to him to make that happen. It was funny because then Yuki Tsunoda was a couple seconds up the road and the commentary around this was hilarious because obviously Yuki is Max's teammate. Like, Yuki is going to put up a huge defense, but the commentators were like, well, obviously Yuki's going to do what he needs to. But like, if you're Red Bull right now, you're kind of thinking, Damn, I wish I had told Yuki he was getting dropped after this race. So that was kind of a funny moment in the commentary. But unfortunately, Lando got by on the first try. Well, unfortunately for Yuki and for Max, Lando got by on the first try. But this was where the sort of penalty situation came in, or the investigation. So Yuki, this happened on the straight. He did kind of like move twice on the straight, which you're not allowed to do. You're only allowed to position your car once in terms of defense. And Lando overtook Yuki off track. So he was four tires outside the white line. And so immediately that was noted to the stewards, and then it was under investigation. And the outcome of that was Yuki got a 5-second time penalty and Lando got nothing from it. I think high level, it should have just been a racing incident. I think that was quite harsh on Yuki. I don't think Lando deserved a penalty for that, but I don't think Yuki did either. Nothing came of it. Obviously, Lando got by totally fine. I think it probably just should have been a racing incident, especially given it was Yuki's last race. I just kind of hated to see that for him. But anyway, as soon as Lando got by, that's when Max dove into the pits. That put Oscar in the lead into clean air. His job was just to have sort of the stint of his life, drive as fast as possible, which he did do pretty well. But unfortunately, with Max on fresh tires, there's not a lot you can do there. So I think they were also, because Piastri was on the opposite strategy, starting on the hards, I think McLaren was also sort of not using him, so to speak, but seeing how far these hard tires would go, because Lando, if he wasn't going to do a two stopper, was going to have to go like 40 something laps on those hard tires. And so, I think it was useful to some degree to have Oscar on that strategy just for intel. But Lando ended up doing a two stopper because Leclerc pitted for a two stopper. So Lando did have to cover him off. Luckily, that was another clean stop. They put him onto another set of hards and Charles onto mediums. I was kind of curious about the hard strategy, but it seemed to be the right tire for Lando. But Charles was catching him a little bit on those mediums and clocking fastest laps. And so I was getting a little nervous about that, but it ended up being fine. Oscar did finally come in on lap 42 for his first stop onto mediums, and he came out P2, 24 seconds behind Max Verstappen. And his job again was just to hunt him down. But I think at that point, Oscar knew with only like 16 laps to go that that would be a really hard thing. And even GP on the radio to Max was like, he'd have to be 1.5 seconds a lap faster than you. So just keep doing what you're doing. And that's when Verstappen had the opportunity, because it was 24 seconds and a pit window is usually 21 seconds on this track. That's when Max had the opportunity to potentially pit again and start to back up the field to try and get Charles to overtake Lando or have Lando finish off the podium. And I was kind of surprised they didn't do it, because Max did ask on the radio if Charles was catching Lando. And GP was honest and was like, yeah, it's not, it's kind of even, like a couple of tenths on the last lap, but it's pretty even. So it wasn't totally clear if they were just kind of being respectful and hoping maybe for a last safety car or something crazy. There was this kind of intense battle farther back between Hamilton and Ocon and some others that felt like maybe something crazy could happen if it just got a little bit out of control. And yeah, Norris's engineer came on and was asking about strategies and tire strategies if there were to be a last minute safety car. And so good to kind of be going over those permutations, but nothing came of it. Hamilton, just a shout out to him after a tough quali. He did pick up something like 8 positions, so not a bad drive through the field for him. In the end, though, Max took a commanding victory. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, because Oscar finished P2 and Lando did finish on podium in P3. That was enough by 2 points to crown him champion. And wow, I mean, what a season. It's Abu Dhabi generally is a pretty cool race, because it starts in the light and it goes to the dark. And so they finish under the light. So it's kind of this like cool transition of almost metaphorically like, okay, we're exiting this season, or the sun is setting on this season into the next. But not the most exciting race for a finale. You know, it didn't come to something crazy last lap, but it was a better race than I think it could have been. And I was sort of assuming if turn one went smoothly, it would be pretty straightforward, or not to use the word boring, but like pretty straightforward after that. And we did have a little bit more excitement than just like a super boring race after the first lap. So happy for that. Lando's radio sent chills down my spine. I was so happy for him. So glad he was finally able to just like soak it all in after months of stress and anxiety and just tuning out all the noise. There has been, I don't know if it's social media or if it's the fact that McLaren just has two very evenly matched drivers with passionate fan bases, but it just felt like the noise this year was louder than it's been in a long time. Maybe this is just recency bias, but I do feel like the online chatter against Norris or against Piastri, or it just felt like at more of a fever pitch. And I was kind of bummed to see all of that. Like, I understand the disappointment of your driver not winning, or your driver feeling like your driver is not getting the right treatment, or someone else is getting an unfair advantage. But you're just not going to convince me that McLaren favored Lando Norris all season. I'm sorry. I just don't think that's true. I understand how things look sometimes, but I think the reality is, like, this papaya rules game they're playing, it's not intentionally favoring one driver. It's just a little bit of a messy way to try and keep things fair. I don't really have much else to say other than that. And I recognize that many people will disagree, but you're not going to convince me otherwise. I was sad to hear Lando say that he looked like a loser crying, because I think it just goes to show how internalized all of this criticism and noise has been for him. Like, people call him sensitive. People say he's like not championship material because maybe he wears his heart on his sleeve a little bit more, or is more sensitive mentally in some ways. So I don't know. I was sad to hear him say that, but I was happy to see him be able to display emotion and just soak it all in. But yeah, regardless, super happy to see his family there. Magui, his girlfriend, was very happy and emotional, and it's going to be a good off season for him and those around him. So I'm happy for that, and hopefully he comes back just as strong next year, and it's going to be fun with the new regulations. So for MVP, I have to give it first and foremost to Max Verstappen on so many levels. I think most wins of the season in a car that was not the best. They entered this race, Oscar, Lando, and Max with 7 each, but Max won this one, bringing him to 8. Like I've mentioned several times before, he was down over 100 points in Zandvoort, and to come back and be within 2 points of a championship victory is just absolutely insane. And of course, these last couple of races of just a classic Max Verstappen display of dominance is something to behold. But I think all the on-track stuff is evident. I think to me, what makes him an MVP for so many reasons is the kind of person he showed himself to be this year. You know, it's no secret that Max has had many eras of who he is as a driver, who he is as an athlete, how he displays himself, how he talks. And I think I didn't have as much respect for Max Verstappen in earlier years of his career. I knew he was talented, but I think I didn't personally understand or feel like he was a driver that I was like excited to root for every race, in all honesty. And I think this season, I could not feel farther from that. Like, the amount of respect that I have for him is just through the roof. He, of course, was competitive on track, but he did so to me in a way that was gracious, respectful, loyal to his team. He stood by his team when everyone thought that he was leaving after the Christian Horner scandal and his departure. Everyone kind of thought he was leaving, and he didn't. He stuck by his team, and he delivered an incredible second half of the season that I think is one of the greatest F1 comebacks in history. And every answer also that he gave in press conferences was just honest. Like, he's not trying to stir the pot. Like, there, you know, there's a little bit of psychological warfare that Max always does, but I don't know how intentional it is. I just think he certainly could have played a lot more dirty tricks this year, and especially this race. And he didn't. He drove his heart out. He hoped for some luck behind him this race. And when that didn't happen, he was happy for Lando. And he was reassuring to his own team about how proud they should be, sort of when they needed it most. Like, he was strong in the face of disappointment when I think his team needs him to be. I'm not sure if you all saw the footage of GP sobbing after the race, but like, I think we can forget for a team like Red Bull, who has been so successful, and it's just kind of a given that Max is going to go out and crush it, like, how much this does mean to them and to the whole team to succeed and to win and to come so close and to feel that disappointment. Like, it's almost amazing that Max wasn't more emotional. He was just happy, and maybe he will be, and maybe he was just putting on a strong face, but I don't know. Seeing GP like that really, I think, makes it real. So just a lot of respect for Max this season, and he is definitely my MVP this race and just generally a lot through this season. I think it's also hard not to give an MVP to Lando. I think he kept his calm. I was very nervous that he would sort of capitulate a little bit under the pressure and make some mistakes. And of course he did throughout the season and in a couple of these races in the later part of the season. I'm really happy that he kept calm under pressure. He delivered, he showed that he deserved this world championship. And I think he also matured a lot this year as well. He went from saying, you know, simply lovely on the radio in one of his wins and being kind of cheeky to just being humble and gracious. And in my mind, that is a mark of a true champion who has matured. And I don't know, I feel really good about Max and Lando and Oscar. His time will come. I understand he seemed really upset after the race and rightfully so, but I have no doubt that Oscar's time will come soon enough. The end of F1 season sneaks up fast, and then all of a sudden it's holiday season, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I really have been using Uncommon Goods for years, and I actually got someone in my life a book full of New York Times covers from their birth year over the years. It's one of the most special, customizable gifts I've ever seen, and that person still talks about it as their favorite gift they've ever received. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard Formula One fans and football fans, to foodies, mixologists, avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. For LVPs, I think it's hard to pick an LVP. I think the stewards did the right thing in not penalizing Lando for that move, but I wish they hadn't penalized Yuki in that way, especially for his last race. And I may have missed it, but I didn't see any Yuki donuts afterwards for his last race. So I guess that's another LVP for me, but shout out to Yuki. Maybe just a couple of discussion points before we wrap it up. I think one is the question of, should Max have backed up the pack more? Was the Red Bull strategy too conservative? Should they have tried to do something more, something crazier? I think in theory, yes, but I also have a lot of respect that they didn't. I think Max put his head down, did what he needed to do, drove the race he wanted to. And I don't fault Red Bull for not doing that strategy. Like, if Max had wanted to do that strategy, I think he would have. He would have asked to pit. He would have like not driven as fast as he did. And he would have backed up the pack. He would have tried sort of anything, and they didn't. So I don't know. I don't think I'm someone to like sit here and be like, they should have done X, Y, and Z. I think it was a personal choice, and they decided to just play it clean, and I have respect for that. So, yeah, maybe that's not the Max we would have seen in 2021 or 2022 or maybe even 2023, but it's the Max that we see today, and maybe it's his father era changing him. Who knows? Another thing to chat about this race was just the Ferrari pace. It was not on my bingo card that it would be Charles giving Lando trouble. I really thought it would be George, who had a very, unfortunately, mediocre race, and not sure. I don't know if he was nursing damage or whatever. I haven't gone back and looked into that, but he didn't have the race that I think people expected him to after an incredibly successful season and Mercedes securing P2 and constructors, which is exciting for them and really happy for that team. But yeah, good to see the Ferrari pace, especially just given the hardship they've seemed to have over the past several races. And, you know, obviously on one side of the garage, it's a little bit of a different feeling than on the other side of the garage. I think Lewis is really just feeling down and down on himself. Like, I think part of it is the team and some changes they need to make. But I think Lewis, at least what we've heard in the press conferences from him, is also just like, he doesn't really know what's going on. And I think he put some of the blame on himself for not being able to perform. And yes, the margins are thin, but Charles does seem to be outperforming him more often than not. And I think that's sad. You don't want Ferrari, the team, or Ferrari, the fans, or Lewis himself to like lose faith in his abilities. And I just hope that it doesn't come to that. And I hope next season with new regulations, new car, new everything, it's going to be a different story for him. Yuki, a couple things on Yuki. I know we talked about the penalty a little bit. I don't think it was fair. I think it should have been a racing incident, but I'm glad they didn't penalize Lando as well, because I think that would have been ridiculous, and to have, it wouldn't have ended up mattering much unless Max had backed up the pack. But if Lando had had that 5-second penalty, to have a championship be decided by something like that, just, you want to see it on track, not in the steward's office, as I think DC so rightfully said. So bummer for Yuki on that. I think more of the broad question around him and his role in this race is like, what would have happened if Yuki had been able to play more of a role? We know what Checo did for Max in 2021 and many times and in many races. And I just think Yuki was not in a position or performing well enough to be that for Max this season. And I don't blame that on Yuki. I think that's the way the car is, and no one has been able to do that since Checo. And so it kind of is what it is. But I think, as I said in other episodes, like, I hope it's something that Red Bull learns from, that developing a car for one driver, you know, as close as Max came again to winning the championship, Red Bull has now finished third in constructors, and Max for the first time in 4 years did not get a driver's championship, and maybe could have if Yuki had been up there able to play more of a role or back up the rest of the field or get Lando off the podium in some way. I think, yeah, it's an interesting question, and I wonder if things will be different next year with Isaac. I certainly hope they will. Last question, just on the McLaren front. I think Papaya Rules has been such a topic of discussion this entire season, and the question of sort of whether or not they should continue to carry that forward, if they should make changes to their stance. They obviously have two very talented drivers, and I personally am fully in the camp of letting them race. I think you should never tell a driver, unless they're mathematically out of the contention of the championship or whatever, like, you shouldn't tell a driver that that dream is not theirs at this point in time, unless it's like really not possible, or unless there's some extenuating circumstances around that. I think treating their drivers equally is the right thing. I think they just need to clarify the whole Papaya Rules thing. And Zach Brown at the end of this race, talking to the F1 TV crew in the post-race show, said that they're absolutely carrying Papaya Rules forward and all of that. And I don't know, hopefully they have learned from the season, and they did come out on top for both championships, but it was incredibly close in a way that it just didn't have to be given the car that they built. And so, you know, next year it's a blank slate, and I hope they've learned from these lessons and do better for both of their drivers, because I think, you know, there were several moments this season where I really felt for both of them. So we'll see on that. I respect the attempts to keep everything fair, and I think the execution could be managed a little bit better, I think is the way I would phrase it. So for the final standings of the 2025 season, we have, in for your top 10 drivers, Lando Norris with 423, Max Verstappen 421, Oscar Piastri 410, George Russell 319, Charles Leclerc 242, Lewis Hamilton 156, Kimi Antonelli 150, Alex Albon 73, Carlos Sainz 64, and Fernando Alonso 56. And for constructors, our final order, McLaren 833, Mercedes 469, Red Bull 451, Ferrari 398, Williams 137, Racing Bulls 92, Aston Martin 89, Haas 79, Kicksauber 70, Alpine 22. Well, that is a wrap on the 2025 season. We are saying goodbye to this era of regulations. We're saying goodbye to Yuki Tsunoda in a full-time seat on the grid as he moves to his reserve role for Red Bull. We're saying goodbye to DRS in favor of manual override mode. I checked, and Kimi Antonelli was the last person to push the DRS button, so I'm glad Kimi gets to have that. We're also saying goodbye here in the US to ESPN after several years of them being the broadcast partner here, piping over the Sky Sports feed, and lots to still figure out for what's to come with Apple TV. We're also saying bye to Stake F1 team Kicksauber. I think I'm saying that in the right order, as they become Audi in 2026. And speaking of which, so what we are welcoming as we say goodbye to all these things for 2026, we're welcoming Audi. We're welcoming Cadillac, Valtteri Bottas and Checo Perez back to the grid, and a new team, 22 drivers for the first time in a long time. We're welcoming totally new regulations, manual override mode, as I mentioned. So a lot of mom jokes incoming for 2026. We're welcoming Arvid Lindblad as the Racing Bulls driver and Apple TV. We're also welcoming Madrid as a new track on the calendar. I'm very excited to see how that plays out. But yeah, lots of excitement to come. I'm excited for a little bit of a break for all of our sanity and mental health to just sort of decompress and enjoy the holidays. But I know before long, I will be very, very ready for that first race in Australia. But on a personal note, thank you all so much for listening. Whether you've been here since For the Girls or you've just started to tune in, it means the world. I'm honored that you've chosen to spend any amount of time with me this season. And there will be some announcements for what's to come next season. But in the meantime, I'm just so grateful for you and this community. And I can't wait for what's ahead. So chat soon.